This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered 1-gig internet for $59.99 per month, plus a $150 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
Right from your blade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
That is fun. Okay, that's Marcus, and then I am Ben, and then the guy over here to my left. He's been a real doozy if I've got to deal with this morning.
What are you talking about? My name is Good Times Jimmy Dean Sausage Henry Zabrowski.
What? Jimmy Dean Sausage? How'd you get that nickname?
In order to get through your day, it's very important to start off every single day with a big, piping hot, saturated, fat-loaded Jimmy Dean sausage. The best part about it, what we're doing with our new sausages, I don't know if you've been aware of what we're doing over at Jimmy Dean.
I'm not.
What we've been doing is we've been supplying our new sausages with injections of hot liquid fat, right?
Really?
So that you don't have to chew it.
And it gives it that buttery taste.
What it does is it allows you to, for maximum, like, you know, we're all busy in the morning.
Sure.
We're all trying to make it a cup of coffee. You're trying to get ready. You gotta go
I gotta go to school, Dad.
And he's just like, God damn it, Mr. Johnson is gonna have my fucking ass this morning.
Mr. Johnson's a terrible boss.
He just got time to make breakfast.
That's right.
So he takes one of Jimmy Dean's new, what we like to call, liquid sausages.
Liquid sausage.
And when it comes, is in a little pump, and you just go, you like pump it a couple times in your mouth, and it's the fat equivalent of a big Jimmy Dean sausage.
Huh.
And it just slides into your pancreas.
What if... Wow. That sounds amazing, man.
It's pretty good.
Definitely. Definitely.
I am just fiddling with these headphones.
Yeah, indeed.
I can't hear anything.
All right. Well, speaking of Jimmy Dean sausage and overall families and how Jimmy Dean sausages have helped families, today we're going to talk about families that don't help people. We're going to talk about families that murder individuals.
They rape each other as well.
A lot of anal bleeding, things like that.
I understand that this is a very touchy political climate for the rape topic.
Sure.
As we're going on
sure,
to. But yeah. I'm just going to straight up say the very top of this. We're going to be up to our eyeballs in rape today.
But no one will be upset. No bloggers will be upset because most of the victims of the rape that we'll be discussing, men.
Yeah.
Mostly young men and boys. Yeah,
they'll be fine with it.
They'll be fine
they
with it.
Yeah. Except for all of the ones I'm going to be talking about. All women.
Okay. Well, that's different. You got to even it out. It's affirmative action.
This all starts from an amazing current events news that happened. We wanted to cover it last week when it first broke out. We just started recording.
Yeah. What happened?
I don't know.
You've changed.
Jesus Christ. I'm half leprechaun this morning. Mm. I need a clean slate on the brain.
Yeah.
I need electroshock therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Like MK Ultra on myself.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
Well, I think you could probably find some acid and some drugs, and you could find a way to tie yourself up for a weekend and just lose your mind.
At the same time, though, every time I tie myself up, I just let myself go.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just not disciplined.
That's why you got to get me to tie you up.
That'll be big. You know.
Of course, Henry's referring to the Cleveland situation, what happened there with that the Castro family, or mostly the Castro man, because for some
the
reason,
steamer the came in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. And it was indeed a shitstorm over there in Cleveland. So we had these sort of stories on the mind. We can start with the Castro story.
I think we have to.
Or we can just sort of intersperse it throughout. It doesn't matter.
What I was hoping was that as time passed for this last week, that we'd get all the juicy shit. I wanted to hear from the victims. I wanted to hear Castro just being like, they make me do. I thought that he was going to be like that.
That's exactly
what it
sounds like.
They come and they put the dog leash on themselves. And I was like, hey, what girl, why? Why you blame Mexican?
I don't even know if he is Mexican.
What is his race?
I don't know. I'm not Cuban.
Cuban.
Let's go
right?
Cuban.
Yeah.
Is he?
We'll
throw no, you're just saying that because you know one famous Castro.
Well, yeah. I mean, it helps. If you're a Kennedy, you're Irish. And if you're a Castro, you're Cuban.
What was Sammy Sosa?
Cuban.
Yeah.
I
thought he was Dominican.
I don't know.
Is his middle name Castro?
Mm-hmm. That's why I thought he was Cuban. Indeed. But really, not too many gruesome details have emerged.
No fun shit.
No, well, some would argue horrific.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Some would argue things you don't want to hear around the dinner table.
Juicy
or as Henry
tidbits.
Calls them, fun, juicy tidbits.
Yeah. I mean, there are some tidbits coming out about, like, Castro's life. Like one of his friend Tito said,
"What was
I just don't. I cannot trust what Tito says."
No.
Tito is a guy that he used to play in a band with. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but Castro was one fantastic bass player.
Yes,
he loves the salsa.
He made beautiful Mexican, Cuban, Spanish. He made beautiful Spanish music.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And Tito.
You know, I gotta get home. I got three girls up in my. No, never. I got some rice cooking.
I gotta practice my bass.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
And he slowly backs out.
No, don't listen. Don't listen to it. I got this no bass sound that goes like this.
Oh, my. I just realized that. It's like, you know, if you're kidnapped by a member of a band, it's like at least be kidnapped by the lead singer or by the main
cool
guitar player who can put you to sleep with some
not
nice licks or a nice
the
song.
Lazy bassist.
Boom, 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 boom. It's like, how can you fall asleep to that? I mean, God forbid, at least he wasn't a percussionist or something. That would have been far more torturous. But if you have to be kidnapped by a band member, at least, please God, lead guitar.
Well, this man was a classic bassist. Did not do well with the
classically trained?
No. Classic as in he doesn't do well with the ladies and never gets laid.
But I thought that was the opposite. I thought women always slept with the bassist.
Not usually.
No, not usually.
No. Usually.
That's why I play the flute.
Yes.
No, bassists get kicked to the side because us drummers, they like that primal animal instinct.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But what about a job?
Oh, they hate a man with a job.
God, jobs. You ever known a drummer with a job?
I haven't had a job in 4 years.
I can't get a job. I'm too busy making all this noise.
But here's what Tito said. When we used to go performing, he was alone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to always see if he could go out and dance with the women, strangers. So he would go pick somebody and say, "Want to dance?" Many, many times, they would say no.
Absolutely not. You're disgusting.
Wait a second. Is this the Ben Kissel story?
Oh, I like it.
He kept going, "I want to dance. I want to dance." Mostly every time he would come back very mad because they didn't want to dance with him.
Nobody wants to dance with me. Don't know. What was that,
Ariel?
Nothing.
You just smell a little bad today.
You got problem? You bring a mailman. You don't bring me my delivery on time. And I go take him. I tie him with dog leash to the tree. And I take him and I show him how I tie him to the dog leash.
Tuesdays, huh? Tuesdays. I'm right there with you. I never understand what he's saying. Do you guys ever think that he might have three girls in his attic? I'm not going to follow up on
this. I don't know, but he is always with the alone, never with the dancing of women.
He is always...
Thank you, Tito.
I do like the term, he is always with the alone, as if the actual person that he's with does not exist. It is the alone.
He was also a school bus driver for a time.
Good.
What's the screening test for
there
that,
is
by
none.
The way?
They just let anybody... I could just right, wander just, into a... Yeah. I've got like...
Okay,
got
come
a
on.
Spider-Man
in.
Underwear on. Yeah. They can't see.
Come on in. We're hiring new bus drivers. So you just look them up and down, and then stop at the feet. If they have feet, they're hired. Okay, so just let's streamline it here, people.
What's most important with driving a bus? Right, you got to have a butt to put in a chair, right? And you need feet.
Does he have a butt? Yes, I do see a butt. Does he have some hands? He's got one hand. Well, that'll work just fine because he's a cool bus driver.
But the other hand is gripping onto a giant metal hook.
That'll scare the kids. He's hired.
He's got the dog leash. I wrap the dog leash around the steering wheel, and then a driver. I tell you, they don't tell me when they're late to school. I take them, I tie them to three with dog leash.
Did you understand a word that he said? I get a feeling he has like three girls up in his attic. I just hire him. I don't know.
Well, he was fired from being a bus driver after three incidents. One, he left a child on a school bus.
One of the things you can't do.
That's like that's one of them. Like the top like major requirements of being a bus driver.
Drop off the kid.
Is deliver the children.
Right. Yeah. Two, he made an illegal U-turn during rush hour traffic with a busload of students.
With a bus.
Oh, well, that's fine. They're screaming and shit. You just make decisions.
It's a tough. That's a tough turn
yeah,
to make.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible.
And then finally, the last straw was he used the bus to do grocery shopping.
How many groceries was he getting?
They all come and they complain when I take the school bus to go. I get my lettuce and I get my eggs for the I've got tied to my dog leash in the back of my tree. Those buses come to me. I will tie them with dog leash to tree if they tell me one more time I can't take school bus to go grocery shopping.
I mean, if you're working at the supermarket, don't you notice at some point this Castro character is rolling up to the supermarket with a bus, filling it up with like enough food for four? But you know he lives alone because no human being could love him.
He's taking the school bus to the grocery store. I just think that's a red flag.
Yeah, over the past decade, didn't they just pick up on that? Be like, he's not morbidly obese.
There are
who's eating all this food?
Many fucking retarded facts tied to this case. There's everybody just let it happen.
Are we talking
everybody
about
just let it happen. No one stopped him. He was a moron. He was
an idiot.
When they show the pictures of the house and stuff, it's just like, it couldn't be more obvious. He boarded up all the windows.
Yeah,
he wouldn't let you pass the kitchen. All his stupid brothers. His stupid brothers come in there and just like,
when you go to Aria's house, you're not allowed to go into the kitchen, and we would just sit and drink in the living room, and he'd play music.
And those Jewish Mexican brothers? Is that accent?
But they would just sit in the living room while he was just like, no, don't listen to those sounds and just play like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And thank God Spanish music has a lot of like,
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Out of all the professions, like being a bus driver is the only profession where you really can't take the company car. You know, like that's just for
work. That's only for work.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And most of the time, he wouldn't, here is what his son says. He never let anybody
in his house. I just love the idea of listening to the salsa. What was that? Oh, it's a new rendition, man. This is, you know, Santana is really going crazy these days. It's my only Mexican music reference.
I've never heard this version of Voy a Como Va before. It's refreshing.
His son said he never let anybody in his house. Nobody. His mother, his own mother. If she went there, she would call from outside the house and say she was out front. My other uncle Pedro would ride his bike there, but nobody ever went into that house.
And then retarded ABC News went over this week about all the different times. They're like, well, in 10 years, the cable company would have come there over 15 times.
Yeah,
and the oil company would have come over 40 times. And both of them were being like, we do stuff outside the house. We don't look inside the house. And they're just like, I just feel like there's no noises coming from the house. There's nobody back there in the basement for 10 years like, help, like every hour on the hour for 10 years. I was trapped in a basement, this is how much noise I make on a podcast. This is how much noise I make in a voluntary situation. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you tied me up in a basement, I'm just going to go,
Forever.
Well, he was, I mean,
like the
he
screaming,
did,
what's that, the screaming bird.
You'll never like raping me. That is my goal. My goal is that if you're going to rape me, I'm going to make it bad for you. I'm going to be like,
what?
Your dick's too small, you fucking prick. Yeah, you're raping me. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I like it.
You might end up with one of those black Dahlia smiles at the end of that.
I mean, he was an idiot, but he was a cruel motherfucker. I mean,
I think the
best intimidation tactic that he used to keep them from doing that too much was the old bait and switch he used to do, where he would pretend that he would leave the house, and then he would come back super quick, and if there was anything out of place, or if he heard them screaming or anything like that, severely beat the fuck out of them and rape them. And
I mean, that's where he was really bad.
Whatnot. And he also kept all... And, you know, and we were talking, me and Kissel were talking the other day about how the women how they never bonded together to escape. He kept them in three separate places. They were very rarely in the same place.
They got together every now and again, though, because when the cops came in to rescue them, all three of them were loose. So I feel like...
What happened in the end? We just don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know how they finally got out.
Managed to run out of there. I just feel like it took them...
Well, I tell you what, though. She booked it, and she left those other two girls behind.
She just left behind, but two dead.
She literally ran out of the house and was just like, I've been in there. And she didn't say anything about two other girls.
I also
she left them like they just like sat in the house.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's really, you know, it is a rough part of town because that woman, you know, she breaks out of Castro's home. She runs into the closest man's arms that she finds. We come to learn he is also a wife beater. You can't throw a rock in Cleveland, huh? You can't throw a rock without finding
a
wife beater.
Cleveland is not a
nice beater.
Town.
No, we were talking about it on Top Hat.
Yeah.
We got to end it like the movie The Crazies. We just need to send a drone over there. Get rid of Cleveland. No more Cleveland. No need for it. The Cavaliers are terrible. When LeBron left, they lost everything. It's all done. Cleveland has nothing. I wonder why LeBron left. Oh, maybe it's because your town is full of sociopaths and serial killers?
But wasn't that wife beater such a wonderful internet personality? That makes me happy, is that he was funny and fun and that everyone loves his interview.
He got really meme-y really fast.
And there's another person that came out and said that she was the one who saved them and he was just there, like, talking about McDonald's.
He loved his McDonald's. You know, and this is the one nice thing that I enjoyed about seeing him interviewed, his smile. And his smile was the closest thing I've seen to an actual black person smile when discussing McDonald's, similar to the commercials that McDonald's actually has. I was like, maybe they're not lying in their marketing. Maybe they're not racist. That black dude was thrilled. He pretended you couldn't get it every day.
It's an important lesson to eyewitnesses from now on, is that throw a plug in there. Yeah. If you can get in there, throw a plug. You know, that's why I always go, like, you know, memory foam mattresses. Those girls all were raped in a building, and they were shoved inside alligators, and dead alligators they would put inside. And those memory foam mattresses that I was sleeping on are just so expensive, I need one.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was rescuing that woman, my feet tend to really hurt. But not with these Dr. Scholl's inserts. That's for damn sure. And the pet egg I've been using.
It's too bad she had 9 miscarriages.
A lot of miscarriages.
I'm just not exactly sure because we don't have all of the details yet of exactly how he separated them, exactly how he controlled them.
Honestly,
because he was not smart. He was not a smart person.
What's going to happen? The details are going to be very bad.
And I know there was details about his history and about how he had a history of abuse. And there was a woman that he was with for a long period of time that he sort of like started like tracking where she went and locking her in the house and doing all this. He's just a very, but it's.
He also sent his ex-wife's new husband to jail on child abuse or on child molestation.
He's like charges. His whatever. What's he called? He's like his enemy. It's like his arch nemesis.
This guy, he's a total psycho.
His name's Colon. Is his last name?
Colon.
Colon. Okay. Yeah.
They never say my name right.
In 2004, Colon was convicted of 2 counts of gross sexual imposition and classified as a sex offender for molesting 2 of Castro's daughters. Colon said Castro orchestrated the case, even served as a witness at Colon's trial to divert attention away from his own crime.
I'm also going to say that this woman has not very good taste in the dudes.
Oh, pretty bad.
Maybe not.
I don't know if he was also pretty much an innocent in this situation. I just think that Castro is a... I think there's 2 types of sociopaths, as we can see, like Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, well, there's a lot of that, right? Where there are people that are sort of retarded, that stupidity turns into sociopathy because they literally could not understand someone else if they wanted to. Yeah. They don't have any empathy because they can't understand perspective. Yeah. And then there are people who do understand perspective, like Ted Bundy or like John Wayne Gacy is a very good example. Someone who is a very smart person who's a smart person who believes that they are above society and believe that they can like BTK, like fucking Dennis Rader.
Yeah,
right. They believe that they can impose their control on society because they're better. Society. I just think this Ariel Castro guy is a fucking, just a disgusting animal.
He is.
And
he really is.
But I can't believe that he got these girls to stay there for 10 years. And it was also like, they got picked up on the same road over the same week. There was one road that he picked them up after, like, they were just got in the car.
Well, they just got in the car because they knew him, because they knew his sister and his daughter and things like that.
That's right.
Yeah. But if you did this in Williamsburg, I could understand it, because I'd be like, hey, you guys are up in an attic. Sure, you're chained up. Tiny rooms. Have you seen the rent? Have you seen the rent prices in Williamsburg?
Seen it?
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? $900 a month?
This show is slowly turning into you just sitting on a stoop with
just
a
with a rent in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Well, as yeah, we'll see from some of the other
we'll
cases
keep you
we're going to cover today.
Yeah, and we'll keep you up to date on the Castro situation when some good details emerge.
Yeah, I just want to hear that he dressed up as a skeleton and then went into each room going like, "Hey, Mr. Bones." So that's the kind of
that's
detail
what you
I want
to hear, yeah.
You're a senior skeleton.
If you don't like my skeleton costume, I will take you with
so
the dog leash and I will tie you to the tree.
Fat guy still, yeah. though.
But as we'll see from some of these cases, people are fucking idiots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people are morons. Do we want to start with the monster of Amstetten?
Yeah. That's what I want to do, indeed.
Joseph Fritzl.
Now, did we cover him on a previous podcast or
I
only lightly?
We covered him lightly. But Fritzl, you know, he's nobody to brush under the rug. This guy is the real deal.
This guy is the Rupert Murdoch of trapping your family and raping them for kids.
He is amazing at it. He's a mogul. If tears were money, he would be a billionaire because he certainly caused more than a billion of those.
My God. Mm. All right. Well, this is a man, a very quick overview on his crimes. He kept his daughter Elizabeth shut in. God damn it. He kept his daughter Elizabeth shut in a basement underneath his house for 24 years while raping her and fathering 7 children with her while his wife upstairs was none the wiser.
I mean, she was washing dishes 24/7 just staring at the wall, like acting like nothing. You know, like she definitely didn't hear anything. Okay. She definitely didn't see anything. She just sat there just washing the dishes and just making sure that the things in the refrigerator and just walking around just like watching the TV, you know, and every single night and then probably just like cutting herself on the leg underneath her thing.
I don't understand
the amount of denial in both of these cases is insane.
With the Castro brothers, with the Castro parents, with this chick, I mean, how don't you know there is a human being? Like, don't you just, like, sense other people around? Sense misery? Like, where does he go when he emerges underneath the house
sweaty,
for 7 hours?
Sweaty, covered in sweat and screaming, you know, just like,
and women can
thank you, Martha.
Yeah, and he's just going to bang his daughter. He must smell like sex a little bit when he comes up or something. Like, I mean, there has to be some telltale sign that he's banging somebody
so
underneath the house
the
for 24 years.
So where's the beginning and the end of this scenario? Let's start from the beginning.
Let's start with the beginning of Joseph Fritzl himself.
Yeah.
Let's start with his mother.
Always.
Always. Always starts here.
I don't know.
His mother regularly severely beat him as a child, kicking him even when he collapsed to the floor and bleeding.
But this is Austria.
Yeah, that's
fine. This is Austria, and not only is it Austria, but this is Austria during Nazi times.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the same thing when you hear a lot of these people getting beat in the 1940s and 50s. It's like everybody was getting beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, she never hugged him or kissed him or told him she loved him.
He's a monster.
No.
Yeah. And she brought him into this world only to prove to his father that she wasn't infertile.
Oh, okay.
But that's a good reason.
Yeah, had a child to prove a point.
Yeah.
But then, after a lifetime of abuse at the hands of his mother, he flipped the fucking game on her, walled her up in bricks in her attic, and left her to die.
Well, that's what happens.
I have no problem with that, actually. So far, Fritzl's fine with me.
I understand why people do these things, you know, when it comes, except, like, you're going to sit in the living room trying to watch TV, and you hear,
hear me out.
Yeah, you're never going to be good enough, Joseph. You're never going to be good enough for your mother, Joseph.
Oh, you didn't build this wall strong enough for me to not yell through, huh, Joseph? Huh?
Shut up,
you
Mom!
Hear me, Joseph, huh?
He kept her up there for 20 years.
So he knows how to keep a woman alive.
Yeah, he would feed her and he would keep her alive. But yeah, kept her boarded up, or not boarded up, bricked up in an attic for 20 years.
You know,
man, so he had practice.
He had, so much practice. This is a man.
This guy makes Castro look like a fucking amateur.
Absolutely. He was preparing for his sex seller for years.
This is a pro leaguer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This guy makes the toy box killer look like, you know.
I'm actually
Ariel Castro. Ariel Castro. Yeah. And it makes Ariel Castro look like Ariel the Mermaid.
Think about it.
The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
In 1967, Fritzl was convicted
of rape. Sure, he does smell
rape.
Like fish.
And spent a year and a half in prison. Here's the thing, though, is that
he went to a year and a half in prison for walling up his mother in the room?
No, for rape. He never got caught for walling up his mother in the room.
She was
in the walls. The other one was a crime of passion, so he got caught.
Absolutely. Fritzl, out of the 7 children that he fathered with his daughter, 3 of them he adopted.
Oh, well, that's
out of
he did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. But In Austria, most crimes are erased from records after 15 years.
What?
So, yeah, I know. It's some kind of like...
Mainly the Holocaust. Mainly the Holocaust.
I mean, after World War II, all of their laws got so softened up. Like, for murder, the most you can do is 15 years.
I don't understand.
Henry, do you want to go on a trip with me to Austria?
Let's go have a experience of the senses.
Mm-hmm. I've got a one-way ticket for you. I'll be coming back.
He was also a suspect in two other cases and rumored to indulge in indecent exposure. It was also alleged that he raped his wife's sister. But when he went to...
It's safe to say that he was not a friendly nor like nice man.
No, but
like,
I would like to see
you can't sit down to dinner with him because he like picks up the turkey and starts fucking the turkey.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, I love this turkey. Yeah, I wish it was my daughter. Oh, yeah. Where is my daughter?
Interesting. I do like the idea of him just like flashing a group of people and then just being like, Fritzl! Fritzl!
Fritzl did it!
Come on, Fritzl did it!
In 1972, he gave up on this mail-order lingerie business that he was working on.
If I could, I could count on my fingers and toes how many times I've started and given up on my mail-order lingerie business.
So the lingerie was for men? Is that the deal?
I don't know.
Okay. Male lingerie also, business, like, or is it just a man running a female lingerie
how's
business?
How is he selling
it? Mail order.
Oh, mail order lingerie. So people would just like get their lingerie and they'd be like, I think this is just a bunch of knives.
The problem is that he kept with like hand delivering it and like showing up being like, damn, this
how you
look real
it?
Good in your tits. Yeah, I want you wrapping it. Yeah. You got a daughter?
That means there's a woman out there right now, or there was a woman out there who was wearing his lingerie during their most intimate times, lingerie that Fritzl had probably touched and drooled on and slobbered.
We probably tried on his daughter for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's got to be a creepy. That's when you throw away as soon as you find out about this.
The tale of the haunted panties.
So, and then in 1972, he gave up his mail order business to become what else? A landlord.
Of course.
Yes. Of course.
That's the thing, man. Landlords are all sadists and serial killers. Castro, you could argue, is just a terrible landlord. You know, and Fritzl is the same way.
Well, yeah, they're very, I mean, they're like micromanager landlords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in 1977, that's when he started sexually abusing his daughter, mm-hmm. when she was 11 years old. And he started building his prison cell, like his fucking cellar, in 1981. She didn't go in until 1984.
It's just so crazy the amount of premeditation.
Years. And how he got her into the cellar. Totally fucking Buffalo Bill this chick. He built the entire thing. It was all ready to go. And then he was like, Elizabeth, I need some help putting the door on. And so he got her to put the door on. She's like, Daddy, is that good now? And he goes, ha, 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 you're in there now forever. And
that's horrifying.
Yeah, that's a great switcheroo. That's a good thing for dates for you as well.
Yeah,
that's how you can keep them around.
Oh, I can't wait to go on more dates. They've been going amazing.
Oh, my sweet little daughter, I wonder if you look down into my new super secret safe room, mm-hmm. you'll find a lovely box of chocolates.
For some reason, when I thought of him just like making the room for 3 years, I thought of Noah building the ark.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very similar sort of passion you have to have to
same
focus
time,
on something
and what's
that
Martha
long.
Doing? Is Martha just doing dishes while he's in the other room going like, you know, like sawing wood
yeah,
and
just
like
making
putting
his torture
up soundproofing
chamber.
And just being like, yeah, this is a perfect place for me to rape somebody.
Mainly our
just,
daughter.
Like, up there just being like, do you want corn for breakfast, Fritzl?
Fritzum?
Well, Elizabeth, of course, after enduring years of abuse from her father, had run away a couple times already.
At this point, but at the same time, I just feel like even Elizabeth, don't you feel something coming?
Yeah.
When he's got the big room coming, the daddy's fucking crazed. Look at his eyes. His eyeballs roll around in his head like he's looking at it like you're a fucking sack of gold coins.
Yeah.
Just like knowing that you're going to, when you build the door, you know, and it's like there's no sense of dread.
None whatsoever. I'm sure there was. And then it was just like, okay, this is finally happening now.
Well, you know, I'm here, so may as well make the best of it.
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast? Your dog. That was your dog saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You pet your dog. You're going to learn about Bark. It's the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud.
No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Mmm, tubers. My dogs love their toys selectively. But BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths, but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love the, they love what BarkBox brings. Because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT. My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about two literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey! Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it cost, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage, it's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
And so when she disappeared suddenly, he told everyone, oh, she went off and joined a cult.
Ah, yeah. Most reasonable thing.
He made her write a letter. And this is one of the genius parts of his plan.
Brilliant.
So throughout the years, he would make her write letters to her mother. He would travel to another town and then mail the letter from that town. So the mother, like,
seems like a lot of work.
Years,
it's just such a crazy hobby.
I don't know how you find the time.
He even went as far as to record her phone conversations, like record her voice, and then would play them for the mother.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. One time she called, and it was even though they had just gotten a new unlisted number, and the mother, Rosemarie, was just like, I don't know how she got the numbers. This is weird.
Yeah, she's
but
in
it's
the
good
basement.
To hear from
I think Rosemarie had a fucking brain tumor.
It's
I
very
think
that
Rosemarie was like just like not
mentally slow.
I don't know what she was doing. Her eye was not on the prize, that's for certain.
No.
Yeah. And she, well, I mean, she had, down in her little cell, she had a TV and a VCR.
Oh, cool. That's the highest technology for the time.
A Bug's Life is on the VHS.
Now suck your father's dick.
All right. My goodness. That's a little much, I think. Huh? Mm.
Well, she had her first
during A Bug's Life? It's an animated movie. You can't suck a dick during an animated movie.
She had her first child, Kirsten, in
oh, what a pretty name.
Uh-huh.
Second child, Stefan, in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And those two stayed in the basement for their entire lives up until they were discovered.
And when were they discovered?
They were discovered in 2008.
2008.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
So they were 17 and 18?
Yeah. And Stefan.
But how did they stay in the. I don't understand how you don't overpower the man. How don't you
fight the
guy?
I mean, I think at that point they were pretty. That's their whole. I understand the babies because they don't know anything.
Yeah.
But this woman, at some point, see, that's the thing. I'm not victim blaming whatsoever, but it does boggle my mind.
I was talking about Jackie. Like, I mean, Jackie's very strident in her beliefs, but she was saying the same thing about how, like, if you captured Jackie, if you tied Jackie,
this
it's
is
either
Jackie Zabrowski.
Yeah,
of course.
You're gonna have to murder her.
You would have to murder
her. Yes. You have to murder
me too.
Yeah,
I'll roll around. My big thing is I roll. I twist like an alligator.
Yeah.
I grab and twist.
They give you the right food. They give you that new Pizza Hut, with the cheesy crust.
Well,
you
I'll stay anywhere as long as I'm appreciated.
Exactly. They'll give you 1 hour of performance time every single night. You'll be just fine.
No, they had, when these kids finally came
out, the cops
out, they
came
had
to rescue Henry Zabrowski.
He was
hilarious. Screaming. He wanted to stay the whole time.
They had to do therapy with him as far to get them out into light and sun because they were in a tiny space
right.
Their entire lives. An open room fucking freaked them out.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, Stefan has permanent spinal damage because the cellar was only 5'6" high.
Oh, come on, Fritzl. It took you 3 years to build that? Put a ceiling on there.
He was 5'10".
That's pathetic.
So he was constantly crouching, and his spine is permanently curved. However,
bad
he
construction.
Did expand it at one point. Well, not he didn't expand it. Elizabeth expanded it. I mean, he directed her into expanding another room.
Well, that's nice. That's
yeah.
Nice.
Give, we're going to have give, a family down
whatever
there.
Whatever the lady wants. That's mm-hmm. that was his motto.
Mm-hmm. And then in 1992, Lisa, the third child, was born. And this is when Fritzl starts taking him out of the basement. Here's what happened is that the baby was crying a storm up. And Fritzl, they were, not only was his wife living there, but he had tenants in this house. Like, he was a landlord.
He was doing Airbnb? That's rough.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
There were dozens of people who came in and out of this house all throughout this entire ordeal. And so he was afraid that the neighbors.
People are so fucking stupid and bad. People don't know how to. We can't protect ourselves.
No, I mean, these guys. I mean, the cellar was completely and totally
soundproof.
I mean,
he was a true maniac. He was a true fucking pro.
And so he brought the baby up to try to get it. Like, it had a piece of string tied around its foot or something. Like, it was something with string. And so he brought it up, and then the wife walks in, and he's like, look, Elizabeth sent us a baby.
Ah.
And he just said that Elizabeth had dropped off the baby in a cardboard box and left a note just saying, the child needs looking after.
God, this wife believes a lot of things.
What a fucking moron.
He did it two more times.
Just
I just don't understand.
And he's like, she's in the cult. I don't know what she's doing there, but she keeps dropping the babies. I guess we'll have to take care of them.
After a while, just like, what are you even?
I feel like the wife needs to just die, go to prison even longer than he did for believing all of his bullshit.
What does she do now? What is there any interviews with Rosemary?
She is in seclusion. She lives in Linz.
Yeah, of course.
Seclusion in the West Wing.
Yeah, and her, she tried going and contacting Elizabeth. Elizabeth's like, no.
Yeah, no.
Highly doubt it. Highly doubt it. What's Elizabeth up to?
Elizabeth is a lot of a... Her
well, she started a new bikini line, I heard. I heard she's doing something. A whole, like, surfing thing. It's really great. She does... It's Austrian surfing. They're trying to pump up their surfing culture.
I didn't realize that there was a large surfing culture
in Austria. Yeah, what
they do
is they go out to the sand pits. Uh-huh. They have these big sand pits, and they just, like...
They spray paint them blue?
They stand on sort of, like, crude wooden boards.
Sure.
And they call it surfing.
Ah! Austrian surfing.
Surfing.
Surfing? Go to the Schneerfin.
So after Monica and Felix are born,
okay.
And he keeps bringing them up to the wife, and him and the wife are raising these kids, the first child, Kirsten, becomes like just fucking gravely ill down in the cellar. And Elizabeth is begging him, it's like, you have to take her to the hospital, and we don't know what's wrong with
her.
And the plan that he concocts is that Elizabeth showed up at their house and dropped off a 19-year-old woman.
A lot of that showed up at the house and dropped them off.
That's just
yeah. I mean, things just keep
dead.
Going to your go-to.
Yeah, yeah. That's just half dead and say, like, take care of her. So he takes her to the hospital and he's like, I don't know where Elizabeth is. And the authorities are saying, like, we need to know her medical history. We have to know what's going on here. And they put a full-on
APB
out for, like, seeing what's going on. And as his story just kind of keeps slipping
up. Oh, yeah, he starts telling the story to one other person that's not fucking Daffy Rosemary in there.
Exactly.
Who's, like, going there, like, acting like eating plastic fruit all day. So I'm like, oof, I love these apples.
And so finally the cops said, like, May, maybe we should go check out this guy's fucking
murder basement.
Look, I made a new dress for the refrigerator. She's like, sewed all these clothes for the fucking appliances. Aren't they beautiful?
And so that's when they finally found the kids, a couple of them were adults at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And
almost the majority
he was charged with enslavement, incest, rape, coercion, false imprisonment, murder by neglect. He got life in prison.
Okay.
But the one murder was that Felix was a twin, and one of the twins died. And so he just took it upstairs.
That's a healthy woman to give birth to all those babies by her father while trapped in a basement. Yeah.
And of course, that's
there's some white people that have really a hard time having babies.
Mostly in Park Slope, Brooklyn. That's the other situation with the Castro scenario. Of course, one of the girls had to give birth for the other girls. She had to deliver the girl's baby. And then Castro, it's kind of funny because, you know, he punched that chick a whole bunch whenever she had she had five miscarriages.
Yeah.
And they're charging with five murders. And a lot of pro-choice groups have to err on the side of Castro because they think it's a bad slippery slope because they're making fetuses like people now, which is, I love that
situation. I mean, the thing is, what also makes me very confused about the Castro thing is that they are only charging him with, like, because they're trying to figure out what to charge him with, because right now the only thing they can charge him with is rape. And
well,
it's just like
kidnapping.
They do have enslavement. There is enslavement, right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, they're charging him with everything.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and then the five murders, so he's going to be facing the death penalty because of that, but it's sort of mucky.
I mean, this is a special case.
Political.
That's a special thing. That's not like abortion. Yeah. That's not like choosing to have an abortion when you can't afford to have a baby.
No. It shouldn't be legal. You can't just go around punching every chick in the stomach that's pregnant and just be like, that's a fetus.
You know, it's it's not a person. No. That's bad.
That would be rough.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, so Fritzl is in prison now. That story is pretty incredible.
Yeah, Fritzl's in prison, and he divorced his wife in prison.
He divorced her!
Because she would never come visit him.
Oh,
She didn't divorce him. He divorced her. Yeah. That is remarkable.
You know, men are from Mars.
Yeah. Men are from Mars, and this woman is from the depths of hell. She is a moron.
And every 2 weeks, he pins a note to his daughter asking her for money to study to be a lawyer so he can defend himself.
And
he asks for about $4,000 to, quote, get me started on my legal career.
Is she giving him money?
He even moans about not being able to get the special shampoo he claims he needs for his implanted hair.
He's
got plugs.
See, this is the opposite. And again, this is a guy who just thinks that he can own the universe, that he's smarter than everybody.
He made his own little world, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like if you would ever date Prince in 1993. You know, it's very similar to the Joseph
Same
Fritz
time,
was.
Though. I could use that time. Sitting around, drinking all the bowls of cream. On our big purple couch, listening to play soft guitar music. His beautiful eyes.
So if you had to get kidnapped, you just want to get kidnapped by Prince 1993.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Prince is out there. Fucking take me.
We want to talk about this Adelaide, Australia story.
Oh, yeah.
There's not too much with it, but it's just kind of a fun one. And this was about a large group of very wealthy folks there in Australia, in Adelaide. A lot of doctors and lawyers and things like that. They ran a small cult, and they loved to have sex with boys. So they kidnapped, I think it's six of them, Alan Barnes, Neil Muir.
It's 12 people, right? And they're all like various like high profile Australians. Like they are, you know, surgeons and lawyers. Yeah. And
which means they can like read.
It sounds like the Bohemian Grove.
Yeah. It does, yeah. And everybody that they kidnapped died from the exact same cause.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Which is just pretty much anal bleeding.
They all died from injuries as resulted by anal bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The first one likely caused by the insertion of a large blunt object into the anus.
Yep.
I bet it was a kangaroo.
It could have been. But of course, this is why they think this is sort of a doctor situation similar to the Black Dahlia, because this is Neil Muir. His remains had been dissected and neatly cut into many pieces, placed in garbage bags, and thrown into the river. So they think it had a doctor's hand.
Mm-hmm. And there were also some of the victims were shaved in a surgical manner.
That's kind of fun. And then, of course, the skin-bearing tattoos had been removed, and most of the body parts were placed in another's garbage bag, and then they were placed within his abdominal cavity. They really kind of turduckened him, you know? They just took the gizzard bag right out of him and popped it right back into his abdominal
cavity. But they don't even know who did it necessarily. Nobody was arrested.
One person was arrested for it, and that's...
And he was wearing a big, like skirt made out of sparklers, so just like hanging out, just being like, I did it!
I think that makes sense because his name is Bevan Spencer von Einman, currently serving life in prison.
Hello, my name's Bevan Spencer von Einman,
and I'm the world's fanciest murderer. Also, shout out to Baldy and Johnny in Australia.
Hey.
And all our Australian listeners, this one's for you.
Yes, indeed. They do it right.
You did this. You allowed this to happen. I was also reading about the Port Arthur mass shootings the other day that happened in Australia as well.
What was that all about?
What's the thing with Port Arthur? Which is with this heinous mass killing. They used to have a lot of mass killings.
Wasn't that a school shooting?
I think so.
This group...
Yeah, killing spree in which 35 people were killed and 23 were wounded, mainly at the historic Port Arthur prison colony, a popular tourist site in southeastern Tasmania.
Yes, it was very scary. It's a very scary thing. And then there's a lot of conspiracy theories wrapped into that. That's a whole other thing. We could literally do a whole podcast about Australian mass shootings that happened that were ended because of the their ban on assault rifles.
I just feel like doctors are psychopaths, no matter what.
I told you the story of the last time I met that one doctor who told me about his friend who like went to the Philippines and bought that girl for a month and all this stuff and hanging out. And it's just like, well, you know, doctors have a superiority complex.
They just know what they're doing when it comes to mutilating a body. This fellow Mark Langley, he was murdered by this group of 12 individuals, and among other mutilations, it was found like among other mutilations, was found that he appeared to have been cut with a surgical instrument that went from his navel to his pubic region, and then a small part of his bowel was missing. I mean, that's difficult to do.
Why you take out the poopy tube?
I don't know why they took out the poopy tube.
The poopy tube is like a thing. Where do you keep the poopy
tube? Cock socket. You just make a cock sock out of it.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
I have no idea. That's why it's terrifying.
They made wedding bands.
They could. Make rings, make jewelry with it. Honey, that's such a nice necklace. It looks like a piece of a bowel.
Hey,
you know it is.
Excuse me, Steven. Would you like some calamari? I'm sorry. No, it's poopy tube.
It's poopy tube.
I got it from a boy.
And of course, Mark Langley died from a massive loss of blood from gross injuries to his anus.
I just feel like, what are they doing to the butts?
They're
sticking blunt objects.
What are the things?
Whatever they want to stick in their fists.
And what are they doing? Are they just watching? Or are they jerking off on them?
Oh, I'm sure they were jerking off on them.
I mean, I think they were jerking off around them.
Or are they maybe videotaping it?
Or just fucking each other.
Yeah, just banging each other with them.
What if you just, I mean, like the worst of all is just sitting eating Red Vines looking at them.
Yeah.
And it's like sitting there just eating popcorn, just being like, I love this movie.
This other dude, this Neil Muir guy, his head was tied to his torso with a rope passed through his mouth and then just like and out of his neck. So I don't even think his neck was attached
to
his
horrifying.
Body. They were just
playing
around with
him. It turned out one of them also. It also sounds like one of them must have been some sort of gift wrapper decorator for a mall.
Oh, sure.
Because he really made these packages so nice.
We need
neat.
To get Barry in here to just like pep this place up. You know, we're killing the bodies.
Is some ribbon, and what it needs is just a little bit of love.
Yeah, Hank, I love the way you cut a bowel. You're a great surgeon, but we need to make this place have a little life.
Queer eye for the dead straight boys.
So that's an example that boys get it pretty rough as well, and I would make an argument. You know, boys aren't really kept in attics. Boys aren't kept in basements. Boys are violently raped and then murdered relatively quickly because no one wants us around, stinky and smelly, yelling all the time.
We can't make the babies.
We can't make the babies. There's really, and when our butts are gone, when a boy's butt has been firmly used
what
and abused,
use is he?
It's done. It's never going back to normal size.
That's a
it's
problem.
Ruined.
In the end, it's like, they all know that. They all know that it's just like, well, you just have to get a bunch of disposable little boys.
You do. You do. And I mean, getting just dying via blood loss from the anus, that's going to take a second. I mean, doesn't that take...
I'd imagine.
Or does it just gush right out of there? Or just every one of these boys, or every one of these, I guess, not necessarily boys.
Yeah, I don't think it's
adults.
Like a Pringles can. I don't think you pop the top and you're just...
It just like gushes right out.
No.
I don't know.
It takes a little while.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, when you think it couldn't get any worse, just remember you could be one of those five boys in Adelaide when you're up
there. I would just find it would be really scary if they found them all like on top of parking meters.
That would be amazing.
Put them all up in there and they're just like, ah, my little marionettes.
We got time for one quick one out of Austria?
Of course.
Because at the time of Joseph Fritzl, there was another case very similar
this
to
this. This is a sick country.
But this,
I guess so. Fact, I mean, how many
do
people
we have
been...
Austrian listeners?
I think
yes,
we have a couple.
Do.
Listen. Let the girls go.
Let the girls go. Everybody that we have in Austria, I know you guys don't have girls in your basements. Go sneak around your neighbors' houses and find all of the girls.
The big
They're
thing is that
around.
If you ever think it's like a parrot or a parakeet going like, ah, help me. It's like, no, it's a person.
It's a person.
You know, they are
Break
in a basement.
In Yeah, have your own Goonies moment. Have a Goonies weekend.
Well, it was a big problem for Austria at the time.
I guess so.
And the prime minister...
It's because they had such big basements. It's like they were asking for it.
Well, the prime minister of Austria went on TV. He's like, we are a wonderful country. We are not the land of dungeons.
The land of dungeons.
That is a direct quote.
You can market that, though. I feel like you could market Austria. The land of dungeons.
Land of dungeons.
It's kind of cool. So what's this other guy who got totally trumped out by Fritzl?
Well, the girl was kidnapped. She was a 10-year-old named Natasha Kampusch. She left her family's residence in Vienna's Donaustadt district in the morning of March 2nd, 1998.
Who'd ever live in a place like that?
Well, very nice listeners of Last Podcast on the Left would.
Your pretty face, because going to hell Thursdays at midnight and no swim.
Yeah, we all know.
Yeah. She failed to arrive at school or come home, and a 12-year-old witness reported having seen her dragged into a white minivan by two men. Although Kampusch did not report a second man being present, a massive police effort followed in which 776 minivans were examined, including that of the actual kidnapper, Wolfgang Pinkloppel.
Pinkloppel? Are you telling me a Pinkloppel did this? From the Pinkloppel family? The construction Pinkloppel family?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He stated that on the morning of the kidnapping, he was alone at home, and the police were satisfied with his explanation that he was using the minivan to transport rubble from the construction. Obviously.
Oh, they were a construction
family.
Well, that's
the thing. That's really strange. Also, I feel like a lot of minivans in Austria are just used to transport rocks.
Mostly.
That's just what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the police... So a woman goes missing. The police doing a crack in investigation.
Yeah.
They just ask him, where were you? And he says, I was at home alone.
I was just chilling out, bro.
I mean, he was one of 776.
That's well, true. Then which one is going to
well,
admit
all said
it? Like,
hanging
who's
out?
Not saying at home alone?
Well, yeah, the problem is that there was a common joke in Austria at the time. Is you asked someone, what'd you do last night? And he's like raping my daughter in my dungeon.
Which ironically means he was literally home alone. Yeah. Like, oh, he has no life at all. That's so sad he's got to make up all those wonderful fairy tales.
Well, while she was captive, Wolfgang would beat her so badly she could hardly walk. When she was beaten black and blue, he would take his camera out and photograph her so he could presumably whack off to the pictures after. Or show them to her and say, like, this is what I'm doing to you.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I know, I feel it.
Yep, I'm living it, buddy.
And so, in 2006, same year as Joseph Fritzl's lady was escaping, someone called Pinkloppel on his mobile phone. She was vacuuming
well, wait a second,
out his
someone's
car.
Calling me on my mobile phone.
He didn't keep her in the basement. He would bring her out. She was vacuuming his car. He walked away to take the call. And when he walked away, she just left the vacuum cleaner running and then just fucking bolted.
You fucking idiot. Pinkloppel.
Yeah.
And she left a bag of her. She made a very crude mannequin of her body with her clothes all filled with car dust.
And she's just running down the road. His last words were like, but what about my car? You're not done with the car.
There's still pennies everywhere.
I never thought she was going to betray me like that.
Yeah, she ran 200 meters through gardens and streets, jumping fences and asking passersby to call the police, but nobody paid her any attention.
Brilliant.
Again, because it was a common running joke. And all the girls used to do this all the time, run through the guards, be like, oh, I'm running from a dungeon. And like,
how don't you call the police? Just call the police.
Well, she cut off all her fingers.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody runs up to you, I mean, no one's running into your arms.
I could help somebody.
Mm-hmm. And this was a huge case. It was much like the Cleveland case where she ran up to a 71-year-old lady and said, I am Natasha Kampusch. And the old lady immediately knew who she was. She called the police.
Yeah. Because they're watching the news.
And then,
because their daughters haven't said hello to them in years and years. So it's just nice to see a young person again.
Yeah. Forever. Pinkloppel, he knew that after he knew the police were on his tail, motherfucker jumped in front of a train, killed himself.
Wow. Yeah.
Ruined the day's commute, though, too. Yeah. What an asshole.
Here's a weird twist to the story. Kampusch bought the house that she was imprisoned in.
I mean, you can't deny good architecture.
Was it?
You know, if it's got good flow and it's got big rooms and a lot of windows, and you know, it's a nice place to have.
There's not a lot of options in Austria for real estate, you know?
She's a regular visitor to the property, and by 2009, she was cleaning it out to possibly move in herself. In 2010, she said that she retained the house because it was such a big part of her formative years, also stating that she would fill in the cellar if it was ever sold, adamant that it would never become a macabre museum to her lost adolescence.
Just put a pool table down there. I mean, make it a nice little room.
And then she threw the killer rager of all ragers in the house.
Do that in Fritzl's fucking house.
That's fucking sweet. Yeah. I'd love to go to a party at Fritzl's house.
We talked about a story on Roundtable where Austrian kids go down to Fritzl's rape basement and have fucking ragers.
Of course.
Yeah,
playing Pantera, you know? Like pretending to be tied up, going like, ow, 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 I'm your daughter.
Honestly, I firmly believe that Studio 54 saw far more horrors than Fritzl's basement.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
I mean, I have no problem. Put a disco ball down there.
You had a 15-year-old Brooke Shields and roller skates.
Indeed.
Studio 54.
God knows what they were happening. A lot of people died from anal bleeding. Studio 54. A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of bodies.
I just feel like it would be a type of death I'd hear more of. I don't ever remember hearing people dying of anal bleeding.
No, I think it happens very rarely. I mean, it has to happen on purpose. You really got to
want it.
You got to work
it. It doesn't happen on accident.
No. No.
Okay, well, it's bleeding. What kills you is the bleeding of the digestive tract.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you really got
it. Talking? You just look it up like anal bleeding questions?
Rectal bleeding.
Rectal bleeding. Scientific. So how far up the butt do you have to go before you rupture?
I think you literally have to hit the wazoo.
The wazoo?
I think that's
the medical term?
Medical term.
Okay,
yeah.
The wazoo.
Yeah.
So he was bleeding from his wazoo.
Oh, yeah. It's when you fill him up to his giblets. That's when he gets it. But a lot of times he's asking for it, so.
Yeah.
Screaming for it, actually. Going
sure.
Like,
no.
Oh, fill me like a fucking Christmas turkey.
Yeah. No, I've heard people say that before. Christmas turkey.
Speaking of turkey, it's almost lunchtime.
It is almost lunchtime. Yeah. We're going to have to go
get some massive
food.
Bleeding. I mean, you don't die from loss of blood. You die from toxic shock.
So it happens relatively quickly.
Yeah.
So these guys were just trying
to... You feel weak, dizzy, faint, short of breath, have extreme cramps, and diarrhea. That's the thing. You're bleeding, and you've got diarrhea.
And poo-poo all the time.
That was just somebody's favorite little thing in this Adelaide
cult. At the same time, and you're just sitting there while you're writhing and dying, and they're just playing that, you know, like, she spins me right round, baby, right round. And they're all, like, dancing around you while you're dying there.
That's the worst part
about it. That's probably the worst part.
That would be the worst. If I hear that song before I die, I'm going to know there was no God, you know, and there was no reason to be here at all. That's really quite tragic. All right, well, I think we covered some fun murder topics today.
Again, I'm just going to put a thing out there to all last podcast listeners, you know, let the girl go.
Let the girl go.
Let the girl go.
Let her go.
Let her go.
You know, well, our fans are heroes.
Let her go, and if she turns you in, face the music.
That's
you know, just be a man.
It's your you made this,
or be a lady if you're a lady with a captive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have a very
dungeon now. It's time to sleep in it, buddy.
We have a lot of lady listeners, and thank you, ladies, for listening because we feel we have the safest group of female listenerships of any radio or podcast show on earth. None of our ladies will ever be hurt. They're well prepared to fight off the devil.
Yes.
So please,
and keep fighting.
Alert. If you see a little castor-like guy coming, grab it at you. Sure, he might be selling churros. He might have a smile. Like, punch him in the face.
Excuse me, miss. Excuse me, miss. I want to see if my dog leash will fit on you.
That is a trick.
That's a trick. Don't put on the dog collar.
A big trick.
Because then he got you.
He's not a photographer for Glamour magazine.
He never is. You're beautiful, and you are a model.
Those people go for fashion.
Those people go through agents. They
That's right.
Agencies that you have to contact first. They don't approach you on the street.
That's right.
Just don't. Don't take any business card. Take a business card.
Yep. Get a business card.
The business card is actually just a small cut-up piece of a McDonald's Big Mac Whopper. Or
Big Mac
Big,
Whopper.
Big
Thank
Mac
you, Mom.
Wrapper.
That's what my mom sounds like.
It's a Big Mac Whopper. Wrapper.
You gotta get a Whopper.
Hamburger wrapper.
That used to make me so mad when I was such a fat piece of shit little kid. And we go to McDonald's. She's like, you gonna get a Whopper? And I was like, Mom, Whopper's a Burger King.
You're right.
I mean, you are right, though.
You're right.
You are
absolutely right. I can't argue with that.
That's right. All right. Well, ladies, thank you for protecting yourselves.
We love the ladies.
We love the ladies.
And the guys.
And we love everyone.
In a different way.
That's the thing.
Yeah. In a platonic, hey, how are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Da, 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 da. I don't understand.
Magustalations.
Magustalations, everybody.
Hail me!
Hail Satan.
Hail Gee.
Hail Satan.
Hail yourselves, everyone. And stay safe out there. It's a dangerous world.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil. Crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/lastpod.